27 years after the death of Spanish dictator Francisco Franco, Spaniards are just now beginning to confront the ghosts of nearly four decades of fascist rule. In the last several months, there's been a flurry of books and exhibits lifting the veil from the Franco era. NPR's Silvio Poggioli reports that this new mood of introspection is shattering the pact of silence that accompanied Spain's post-Franco transition to democracy.
An hour's drive north of Madrid, there's a hilltop memorial called the Valley of the Fallen. The monument is a crude example of fascist triumphalism. A spooky subterranean basilica has been carved into the granite mountain. Here at the mausoleum of Generalissimo Francisco Franco, mass is celebrated every morning. A recorded audio guide provides background.
The original plan for this exceptionally long wing of 262 meters, powerfully hewn from the raw mountain rock.
But the audio guide doesn't reveal that this monument, which took 10 years to complete, was built by the forced labor of 12,000 political prisoners. One of them was Nicolás Sánchez Albornoz, who crushed rocks by hand without the help of any machinery.
Then those who were excavating the crypt on a rock, well, that was a small group, but it was a dangerous work because they have to use dynamite to blow up all this. And obviously they were not very well protected by all these things. And in fact, there were people that died from these explosions.
Sánchez Albornoz was one of the lucky ones. He escaped and ultimately found refuge in the United States. But tens of thousands of others were hired out to scores of private Spanish companies. Franco's ideology promoted the redemptive qualities of hard labor, so prison gangs were used for both public works and residential projects up to the mid-1960s. Sánchez Albornoz says modern Spain was built by political prisoners.
That's how the fortunes were made under Franco.
In 1936, Franco staged a coup d'etat against the democratically elected government of the Spanish Republic. With help from Hitler and Mussolini, his fascist forces prevailed after a three-year civil war. Perhaps as many as 600,000 were killed in battle and in brutal reprisals on both sides. Several historians estimate that up to 50,000 Franco opponents were executed at the end of the war. Most still lie in unmarked mass graves. We try to find one of them in Colmenar Viejo, a small village not far from Madrid. Nobody in town wants to talk. But we get a tip and seek information from an old man who spent many years in jail as an enemy of the Franco regime. Germán Romero López is a man who has kept his secrets for six decades.
Pues no quiero hablar por la sencilla razón de que efectivamente luego se han chivado muchas cosas.
People here are still afraid. There were a lot of betrayals between friends in the case past. And today, nobody wants to create disturbances by reawakening political ghosts. Even I have fascist friends today.
And he tells us where to find the mass grave. A few miles away, at the edge of the old cemetery, there's a field overgrown with weeds. According to Germán, this is where about 130 people were executed and hastily buried. Emilio Silva, founder of the Association for the Recovery of Historic Memory, says this is just one of many such sites.
All of Spain is one big mass grave. Every major Spanish city has a mass grave with at least 1,000 bodies each. Sevilla, Granada, Pamplona, León, and so on. And in villages, there are hundreds of smaller mass graves. But in most cases, we'll never find them because the only people who knew about them are now dead.
After Franco's death in 1975, Spanish politicians on the left as well as on the right decided not to dwell on the past in order to avoid social conflict. The result was a virtual pact of silence on the horrors of the dictatorship. Manuel Fernández Montesinos García was 4 years old when his uncle, the great Spanish poet Federico García Lorca, was executed in Granada. In 1977, Manuel was elected to Parliament on the Socialist Party slate. He admits that perhaps at the time Spanish politicians focused too much on the future.
Maybe seen from today's perspective, we did make a mistake and we should have dug a little deeper so that the basis of our new regime would be much more solid than they are.
Today, Spain is entering a new phase of self-analysis. A large exhibit on the 500,000 people who fled Spain and lived in exile has attracted tens of thousands of visitors of all ages. A radio call-in show and a weekly TV series are revealing the hidden history of the losers of the Civil War. There are new books documenting various aspects of the Franco era. One asserts that tens of thousands of children were snatched from their families, left-wing Franco opponents, and given to regime supporters or to convents and monasteries. Olga is a student in her 20s who says that, like others her age, she was taught nothing about the Franco period.
For me, it's really incredible that in Spain there was concentration camps. For me, it's really incredible. I think in Germany, but no in my country.
One of the most successful recent works is the novel The Sleeping Voice. The author, 48-year-old Dulce Chacon, comes from a pro-Franco aristocratic family. She wanted to write the untold story of the tens of thousands of women political prisoners whose lives were wasted in harsh Spanish jails. In her research, she learned that those who lost the Civil War were branded as communist subversives. Their property was confiscated and they were unable to get normal jobs. Chacon welcomes the lifting of the veil from the Franco period.
Efectivamente, no es demasiado tarde porque todavía hay gente que vive.
And it's necessary that we recover and we discover our historical memory. The winners wrote their own history. The losers never had the chance to do so. There is a collective need to recover that memory. A country without memory is a sick country.
Under pressure from this new desire for knowledge of the past, the conservative government of José María Aznar recently approved a resolution condemning Franco's 1936 military coup. But the government rejected calls that the state finance the exhumation of the bodies of Franco's victims. Novelist Chacon says what's needed is a national conversation between the two Spains, the losers and the winners. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Madrid.